This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now from The Athletic, covering the Milwaukee Bucks, our buddy Eric Name of The Athletic. Eric, did you hear Coach on with us earlier?
I did not hear him. Did you guys have a good conversation?
He was wonderful. He was very jovial. He was great to talk to, very honest in his opinion about things. The interesting fact is that he is going to have to manage his team health-wise and legs-wise and get them ready for the postseason as opposed to just stacking wins from here on out. I thought that was a rather interesting comment. He said he has a responsibility to keep the team ready for the postseason at this point, which is almost a page right out of the Popovich handbook, you know?
Yeah, no, I think for him, like, it makes a ton of sense that, you know, he's going to have to go out here and he's going to have to make sure that they're ready to go, they're healthy, and they're going to be fine because, you know, obviously trying to stack up wins. And I know Giannis the other night mentioned 63 wins, which is just way more than I think you would think it would be necessary. That means going 8-0 in the final eight. I don't think that is necessary. But, you know, this team is about winning. Giannis is obviously, you know, obsessed with all of that. But at the same time, Bud's got to make sure that he holds out the people that he needs to hold out. And, you know, he's able to keep the people healthy that he needs to keep healthy. So I think it's going to be a true test for them to get through this, make sure everyone's happy. And then, I mean, ultimately, I think the hope would be that Nikola Mirotic can join them at some point before the end of the regular season. And if so, I think that's kind of perfect because then you can have him be back in the rotation while also resting other guys. And it's kind of a two-for-one there. So we'll see if that's able to happen here in the next couple of weeks.
So last night, they were down by 11 at one point. Next thing you know, you blink your eyes, they're back tied. After that, you blink your eyes, they're up by 5, and they never look back after that. How much, if any, do you believe last night's win goes a long way to, I don't want to say bolstering confidence, but you know what I mean? It started to get that playoff atmosphere type of, place last night. You know what I mean?
I mean, when the sequence in the second quarter where Bledsoe gets the steal and that he's ended up going back and forth with Harden, he kind of gets in Harden's face, he flexes a little bit at him. When the crowd went off during that moment, that was playoff energy. Like it wasn't for the whole game, it wasn't the entire night, but when the crowd needed to get up, they did, and they brought it during that time. And you know, I was impressed with, you know, Bledsoe being able to bring that in a big game, because if you're looking at question marks for this team and, you know, how are they going to do in the playoffs, like, I don't think those questions involve Giannis Antetokounmpo at all. Like, Giannis has been fine in the last two playoffs. He's played up to his numbers or a little bit better in both playoff series. It's been the other guys. Against Toronto, Middleton wasn't as good as he needed to be. He's coming back from an injury. Last year against the Celtics, he was great. They didn't have Bledsoe the year before against the Raptors, so you know they were asking a lot out of a rookie in Malcolm Brogdon, out of the top maker. But last year against the Celtics, Bledsoe imploded. Like, there's really no way around it. So to see him have that big of a night against someone as good as James Harden and score and defend and do all of that on national TV when all the eyes are on them with the MVP battle, like, I thought that was huge. And again, like you said, I don't know that it gives them any more confidence or anything like that, but I do think it shows that, you know, they can really go out there and handle themselves. And that is big going into the playoffs.
So how far, if at all, did last night go in determining, maybe swaying from one side to the other, an MVP race?
See, going into it, and I got into a conversation with Howard Beck from Bleacher Report, longtime NBA writer, about this, and you know, I had said before the game that, you know, there's a good chance that if one of them has a big performance here, like, voters could use this as a deciding factor, right? They could use this as a tiebreaker. They could use this in their head to, you know, attempt to figure out, okay, this is the reason why I'm voting Harden or Giannis. And, you know, he said that he didn't really think people treat it like that. And I said, well, you know, maybe not you, but I do think there are some voters out there that could use this and, you know, have just the recency bias of, I just saw this happen, so this is how I feel. So I do think it was certainly possible, but with the way that both played, I don't think it really is going to play into it at all, because it wasn't like Giannis had a great night. It wasn't like Harden had a great night. So with them, it was just a spot where I don't know that that's going to come into play at all with the MVP.
I was sitting there last night watching, and I agree with you. I don't think last night did much in the sense of, you know, watching an MVP all of a sudden emerge in front of us. I really enjoy just watching the back and forth, and I agree with you that it was more for the fans to see that type of a performance than it was anything else. But looking at what Bledsoe did last night, I got to be honest, Bledsoe plays like that, you know, I mean, he's really stepped his game up since Malcolm Brogdon went down, and also playing a lot more minutes. You hope that he can keep that kind of pace up throughout, you know what I mean?
I mean, throughout this season, Mike Budenholzer has not been shy about saying, when Eric is really good, we are really good. And, you know, I think it's pretty much undeniable at this point, and I have to dig into the stats a little bit further, but, you know, it feels like any night where Bledsoe has a big game, where Bledsoe has, you know, just a big quarter where he takes over defensively, where he's able to get to the rim, like, when those things happen, the Bucks are just really good. Like, just undeniably so. They're really good on those nights. So, yeah, I would totally agree with you. And, again, I don't know that that's always going to happen. I don't know if that's always going to be the Eric Bledsoe that you're going to get. But in those moments, in those games, you can see that this team can just feed off of him. And I thought that's exactly what happened in that third quarter. And, I mean, they didn't even need to roll the ball out for the fourth quarter, because it was over at that point. He shut it down in the third quarter, and that was that.
Brogdon, now we were talking to Coach, and he just said, hey, he's progressing. You know, they hope to get him back sooner rather than later. Didn't really give me a timetable. What is your thought? Because to me, and I keep telling people, because they keep saying, well, 4 weeks, he'll be back. 4 weeks is, that's, I think, a little aggressive for that type of injury, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit aggressive. For me, I think organizationally, it's not something that Bud will ever talk about, because he doesn't want to, you know, put pressure on Malcolm or anything like that. And, you know, same thing for Horace or anyone higher up. But, you know, I get the feeling from the players around the team that they're thinking he will be ready for their second-round playoff series. And again, maybe that means halfway through their second-round playoff series. Maybe that means at the beginning of it. But, you know, that puts the timetable at about 6 weeks. So, to me, that feels the most realistic. That at some point during that second round series, Brogdon is able to get back out on the floor. And it is also important to note that getting back out on the floor is a different thing than being 100%. Those are two very different things. So he will have to play himself into shape a little bit. He will have to get himself back into rhythm. So I have to figure out how different they become without him, and, you know, who takes a little bit smaller role. So, you know, that's a lot to figure out in a playoff series. So that's why I keep mentioning just how big it'll be to have home court and, you know, try to find all of those other advantages on the margins a little bit that can really help you out and put you in a good spot to win that second round series.
Talking with Eric Name of The Athletic, covering the Milwaukee Bucks. So with Brogdon out and obviously Bledsoe stepping up his game but playing a lot more minutes, who then begins to also saturate some of those minutes that Brogdon would normally handle?
I mean, they've just had a bunch of guys step up, which is, you know, I think something theoretically we thought was possible, but weren't really 100% sure what happened when he went down. But, I mean, George Hill has returned from injury. He's been a whole lot better. He's really been aggressive as of late, attacking the basket and, you know, really making some nice plays there. Sterling Brown has returned from injury. He has that physicality, that edge, that I think is just undeniable when you watch him, you know, go toe-to-toe with Dwayne Wade the other night, go toe-to-toe last night with Chris Paul, and, you know, just not be afraid of any challenge. And then on top of that, you have a guy like Pat Connaughton, who's played 30 minutes last night, who's been hitting shots as of late, who's been all over the floor defensively. Like, all those guys have kind of stepped up and just kind of done what everyone thought. Throughout the season, you know, we've heard people mention that, you know, there's not a deeper team in the league, 1 through 13. And, you know, I think that's always a nice thing to say in theory. That means you have guys that you like on the bottom of the roster. But, you know, they actually have to be able to play and affect games when injuries happen. And, you know, I think after a little bit of a bumpy stretch after the All-Star break, I think a lot of those guys have kind of stepped up and really been able to step in and make an impact.
Good stuff as always, Eric. We will chat again next week, and we'll be efforting towards the postseason after that, okay?
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. That is Eric Name of the Athletic joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they begin to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.